Penguin Random House Audio presents Slay by Laurel K. Hamilton. Read for you by Kimberly Alexis. This book is for all the readers who picked up the first Anita Blake novel, Guilty Pleasures, 30 years ago, and for the readers who found Anita and her world with each new book. Your enjoyment and love of the books allowed me to keep writing exactly what I wanted to write, until my imaginary friends became your friends, too. I am grateful for every one of you who told me that Anita, or one of the other characters in her world, helped you be braver, stronger, wiser, happier in your own lives. Thank you for helping me make it possible for there to be 30 Anita Blake novels in 30 years. That's right. Happy 30th anniversary to the Anita Blake series. Thank you to all who came along for the journey. And to all who have just joined us, welcome aboard. I'll keep writing. You keep reading. So many more adventures ahead. 1. I was standing at the arrival area for the A gates at St. Louis Lambert International Airport, trying to see through the continuing crowds of people that kept spilling out past the TSA agent sitting at the little lectern. Arriving passengers had been streaming past the roped-off lines of other passengers waiting to go through security and depart. None of them had been my family, either coming or going. I was nervous, which made me want to touch the 9mm Springfield EMP at my waist. But since I was carrying concealed, and people tend to panic if you flash in the airport these days, I resisted the urge. Flashing the gun would have flashed my U.S. Marshal badge, too. But I'd found that people who wanted to freak about the gun never seemed to see the badge clipped next to it. I really didn't want my dad's and stepmom's first glimpse of me in 8 years to be kneeling on the floor with my fingers laced behind my head while some newbie from Metro Police was yelling at me to comply. I was also really beginning to regret the high, spiked heels I wore. They took me from 5'3 to 5'8 and made my legs look long and shapely and looked amazing with my short, swishy skirt, but the heels weren't made for standing around in the airport on hard tile floors. Walking in them was fine. I'd even been learning to dance in heels this high as we looked at possible footwear for the wedding, but standing was beginning to hurt.
"You're actually scared,"
Nicky said beside me. He stood like a friendly blonde mountain, so muscled that he'd had to get his leather jacket custom tailored to fit over his upper body. The jeans he had gotten from a bodybuilder site, but he'd wanted a jacket that could cover carrying concealed, and for that he'd had to special order, and even then he'd had to find an in-town tailor to alter it. He wasn't nervous and reaching for his gun like a dangerous comfort object. He was standing cool and calm, keeping an eye on the crowd and the customers who went into the little store against the opposite wall. I caught a glimpse of a slender figure picking up a magazine from the rack near the entrance to the store. They were wearing an oversized hoodie, nondescript jeans, and jogging shoes. They looked like a dozen teens to 20s that had passed by us, so I wondered why they had caught my attention. I tensed, trying to feel if it was a vampire or something else supernatural that wasn't on our side. And then Rue turned around so I could see his face and a bit of his short blonde hair. His bored, "Why did my parents make me come here?" expression never changed, but his startling dark eyes looked into mine. He was part of my security tonight. He and his sister, Rodina. I hadn't even caught a glimpse of her yet, and then I realized that Rue had done something small on purpose so I'd look at him. He was still undercover, but he wanted me to see him so I'd feel better. It did help me feel better about Deimos, the ancient vampire that had come to town recently and attacked us. We'd almost canceled my family's visit, but Deimos had left us alone after the first attempt. We were hoping he'd found us too powerful and just gone back into hiding. We'd delayed my family's visit for weeks, but when we couldn't find Deimos, and he didn't try to find us again, we finally had to move forward with fitting my dad for his outfit if he was giving me away. Since he was very Catholic and I was marrying a vampire, that was still up for debate. Hell, my family was only now agreeing to meet Jean-Claude. They might not even be coming to our wedding. Rue turned away, putting the magazine back and sighing so heavily, his body language clearly said just how bored he was with the magazine, being in the airport, waiting for some stupid relative, or... I had no idea how he and all the Harlequin did it. They were some of the best covert operatives in the world, maybe the best, but I hadn't met enough covert ops people to judge. I looked at Nikki. I was going to say I am not scared-scared, maybe nervous enough that it's a type of fear, but if Rue broke cover to try and reassure me, then he's picking up on more than just nerves.
The three of us can feel it, Anita. It's more than just nerves.
I frowned up at him, and in the 4-inch heels, I was only a few inches shorter than him, so I didn't have to strain my neck. I almost said, "Aren't you scared of your family?" Most people say it as an offhand remark, a joke almost. But Nikki looked down at me with his one blue eye and an eye patch where the other eye should have been. I wouldn't joke with Nikki about scary families, because his mom was still in jail for what she'd done to him and his siblings. My family had its problems, and some of them had screwed me up pretty bad. But compared to Nikki's childhood, mine had been a cakewalk on Sesame Street. "I don't think I'm afraid of my family," I said, shifting my weight again in the heels. Nikki gave me a look that said plainly he didn't believe me, but I believed me, so it was okay. Was I really afraid of my very Catholic family meeting Jean-Claude for the first time? I ran my fingers down the pleats of my skirt. I was regretting it, like the heels. I wasn't usually a pleats kind of girl, but they made the skirt swing as I moved, and it was the nicest skirt I had that wasn't skin tight. Somehow, skin tight and short wasn't a meet the family outfit. So, pleats with a royal blue silk shell blouse that matched the blue in the plaid of the skirt. The short bolero jacket was black, which matched the rest of the color in the plaid. The jacket didn't quite hide the badge clipped to my waistband, but did hide the gun that was in an inner pants holster just behind the badge, and the extra magazine ammo holders on the other side of the skirt. I had a tailor who reinforced all the waistbands on my girlier clothes. Otherwise, the skirt would never have held up to this much equipment. I was even in full makeup, which I almost never wore. I looked like I was ready for a hot date instead of seeing my family for the first time in years. I knew why I had dressed up, and thanks to being metaphysically connected to Nikki and other people in my life, they knew too. I'd been prepared to see my dad and stepmother, Judith, to discuss if he was walking me down the aisle or if they were even coming to my wedding, but I hadn't expected that my stepsister Andrea would be coming with them. She and I were both over 32. She was a lawyer, and I was what I was. She was even engaged to another lawyer. Of course she'd get engaged if I was engaged. I couldn't beat Andrea at anything that mattered to my family. Andrea was the girly one, the perfect, blonde, blue-eyed, straight-A student. She was even tall like her mother. I got good grades, but not as good. People told me I was pretty when I cleaned up or wore makeup or dressed nice. She was always dressed up, always perfect. She had a sense of style, and what clothes matched and flattered her that only dating Jean-Claude had taught me. Fashion was neither natural nor a strength for me, and I found the fact that Jean-Claude didn't have any comfy clothes disturbing. What kind of person didn't have any sweats or lounging jammies? He had pajamas, but they were all silk, and he never slept in them. I wasn't complaining about sleeping in the nude, and silk looked great on him and felt even better next to my skin. But I had old jeans and sweatshirts I'd had since college. I had clothes to do yard work in or paint something. He didn't. Centuries of being judged constantly by the other vampires so that any sign of weakness was used against him and using his beauty to survive had made him always be on, always aware like some wandering photographer would come by at any second. To me, it would have been a terrible pressure. To Jean-Claude, it was normal. Dressing up made him feel better. It had taken me a long time to realize that. I knew that now and accepted it, but it would never be my version of comfy. I wanted my clothes to cover me and to serve a purpose. Today's purpose was to be the beautiful swan instead of the ugly duckling.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?